When I was 19 or 20, I went on a trip down to California. I've been to California many times, but this time I was on my own with my brother, and we had the Volkswagen bus, and we were off to see California, to experience it, to be with our friend down there, and we got a couple of boogie boards, and one very hot, sunny day, we went out into the water, and we were trying to, you know, surf the waves, and we realized about 30, 45 minutes into it that there's this thing that's called the undertow, and if it's really bad, you don't realize it when you're out in the water, but it actually takes you further out than you want to be. And for some reason, we were out there and we realized we heard this helicopter, and it was over the megaphone. It was saying something like this. Couldn't understand it. But what it was saying was, swim parallel to the shore. Swim parallel to the shore. Because what happened was the undertow was pulling us out, and we were about 50 to 75 yards out, and we couldn't, no matter how hard we struggled, we could not get to the shore, the beach, because we were going against the undertow. And so finally, with a little embarrassment, someone had to come out and pull me in, and once we got to the wave, the last wave on the beach, I realized there was no other wave or water underneath that wave. It was about 6 feet up, and I thought, well, I'll just surf it. Bam, right into the sand, pushed me over into the sand, and after that, we were done for the day. But sometimes in life, that's what happens. We get pulled under. We get pulled out, we get sucked under, and the circumstances in life just pull us down, and we just can't get to the shore. We just can't get to where we want to go. We're pulled under, we're pulled in. Circumstances in life, they come, and we question whether or not we will make it through. Storms come. And they rock our world. Decisions are made based on our ability versus God's power. Fear can be a determining factor in whether we do something or not. And being gripped by fear can make us sink into the abyss. And we can get stuck because of our fear. We can get paralyzed because of the fear that we are faced. So because Jesus is Lord, we do not have to fear. Because He is Lord, we do not have anything to be afraid of. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And that's great. That's a great statement. And yet I want to go beyond that and say that Jesus, because He is Lord, we do not have to fear. Even fear itself, we do not have to fear. So we've been looking at these seven signs that Jesus performed, and John wrote them down. And he wrote them down because he had come to a belief in Jesus. He had seen Him. He had heard Him. What he had to say, he had experienced Him, and now he was compelled to testify about Jesus and to tell what Jesus had done and who He was. John had seen Jesus do miracles. He'd seen Him heal a paralytic. He'd seen Him change water into wine. He had seen Jesus multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish into thousands and thousands of loaves and fish for an army of people. He had heard Jesus speak about the kingdom of God and about eternal life. He had heard Jesus say he was the bread of life, the living water, the good shepherd. He had heard Jesus talk about him being the King of Kings. And he also had heard Jesus talk about his Father and how he and the Father were one. And so John had experienced all this. And then he comes to this witnessing all these amazing things and he experiences this crucifixion, this horrible death that Jesus has. And then 3 days later, Jesus raises from the dead and John experienced this firsthand. And so John is compelled and he says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at this and our hands have touched. And this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. That life appeared, Jesus appeared, and we have seen him, and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And so if that's not compelling enough to you, I don't know what is. Because John experienced the living water, the bread of life. He experienced Jesus, and he's telling us about it. And he gives us these 7 signs throughout the book of John. And he says, look, these signs point to something. They point to the identity of Jesus and who he is. And if we know that person, if we know Jesus as Lord over these things, these 7 things that we've been looking at, these signs, then we will be able to put our faith in the real deal. That Jesus is Lord over all these things. So the 7 signs, just to review, we have the water into wine. I have it up on the screen this morning, the 7 signs. It'll be up here in a sec. So the 7 signs are changing the water into wine, the healing of the royal official's son. The 3rd sign was the healing of the paralytic. And then last week we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. Amazing stories, amazing miracles. And Jesus, again, these disciples are still struggling with their belief. And then today we're going to look at Jesus walking on water. And then in a couple weeks we'll look at healing the blind man. And then we'll finish with talking about raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, some people say there are more than 7 signs. These 7 signs point to Jesus, and the 8th sign would be that Jesus raises from the dead. And some people say that the 8th sign, the 8th miracle of Jesus rising from the dead, is really, and we can go into all the details of this later, but really it's the 8th day. There's a lot of things in the Jewish belief, faith, that the 8 days, there's symbolism to it. And if you connect the dots, you come to a place where the 8th day is representing the new creation, the new life. What happens after the resurrection of Christ is eternity, 8 days, as in the new creation. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have new life. We are the new creation. And so what these 7 signs point to is that the Lord, Jesus is the Lord over sickness. That Jesus is the Lord over hunger. That Jesus, brace yourself, Jesus is the Lord over climate change. Do you believe that? And then, finally, Jesus is Lord over death. And so today we're looking at the sign that Jesus is the Lord over the water. He's Lord over creation. He tells the storm to be quiet. At different times, he stops it and he walks on the water and he is Lord over that. And so what I want, this is kind of the statement this morning is, this is what I want you to walk away with, is to keep your eyes above the waves on Jesus. No matter what the circumstances in your life, no matter what the struggles you're having today, no matter what fears you're faced with, because we all have fears, whether it's spiders or heights or talking to your, you know, your neighbor, or whatever fears you have, Jesus is the Lord over those. And if we can keep our eyes on above the waves, above those circumstances, and on Jesus, I think that we can get further and we can press through our fears. So let's jump in. Pun intended, by the way. We're going to jump into this, just like Peter. So last week, we arrive at the story, and prior to this, we know that Jesus just fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he multiplies it, and he does a miracle. And it's getting late in the evening, and Jesus needed to go into a solitude place to pray. And so we come to John 6. And just to kind of remind you, this scene, this miracle, is in the midst of the scene that we just came from last week about the bread of life. And so it starts out that he feeds the 5,000. And then he walks on water, and then he comes back, and then he tells them he's the bread of life. And so chapter 6, verse 16 of John. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake. Now this is bigger than Foster, and it's smaller than Lake Michigan, right? It's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's fresh water. It's not like we think of our ocean. And this is a picture of what it looks like today. It is a big body of water in regards to Foster Lake, let's say. Okay, it's about 8 miles wide and 12 miles long, and it's 7 feet below sea level, and around it are these mountains. On one side, there's these mountains. And, of course, I've never been to Israel, but we can ask Yvonne later. She's been there. She could tell you if she's been to the Sea of Galilee, if she tell you what it looks like. But the water is not as deep as Foster's. It goes down to maybe 141 feet. And the winds, the eastern mountain... The mountains, the winds come through and they drop suddenly down into the water, into the area, and they can bring this immediate storm. And so you need to know that because of the story this morning. The east wind blows cool air over the warm water, over the warm air that covers the sea, and the cold air being heavier than drops and the warm air rises. And so suddenly there's these furious storms, immediate. And so Jesus knows this is coming. Jesus is all-knowing. He knows that this storm is coming. And so he says to his disciples, I need to withdraw to a mountain by myself. And in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, it says that Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus knew what was going to happen, he knew that you were going to go through a storm, and he put you in a vehicle to go into the storm, would you be a little upset about that? Like, he knew that the storm was coming, and he put them in the boat and sent them in the midst of this storm. But Jesus knew that he needed to get away. And the reason why is because he wanted to pray for the disciples. He was going to pray on the mountaintop. He was going to pray for the disciples because they were going to go into this storm. And so Jesus' authority, he persuades them, he encourages them, he orders them, and they obey. They get into the boat, and they're sent on their way. And Jesus then dismisses the people, and he goes up to the mountain and he prays. He intercedes for the disciples, just like he intercedes for you and I today. When we go through struggles, when we are in the midst of the storm, did you know that Jesus is praying for us? Scripture says that he is. He's interceding for us. He cares about us, and he's praying that we will make it through those storms, that he is in the midst of those storms. And so even though we can't see him, he is praying for us. Just like the disciples, they couldn't see him. Jesus knew what was going to happen next. The storm was coming, and he sent them into it. See, Jesus wanted to stretch the disciples' faith. He challenged them. He was testing them. Warren Wiersbe says this: a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. A faith that can't be tested is not a faith that can be trusted. See, Jesus is, again, he's giving them a sign. He's telling them what's going to happen. Or he's telling them, go do this, and I'm going to be, I'll take care of things. Verse 17. So they got into the boat, and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. And by now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. So remember, the disciples, they distributed all this bread and all this fish, and they were tired. And it says in the book of Mark that at the end of this storm, and Jesus walking on the water, it says that the disciples were amazed, and it also says that their hearts were hardened, that they were stubborn, and that they were still reeling from the fact that Jesus multiplied all of this bread and all of the loaves, and they were still struggling with believing that that actually happened. And so, Mark, in the book of Mark, he says, their hearts were hardened. They were stubborn. They didn't get it. If they would have gotten it, if they would have grasped it, if they would have understood, this is Jesus. He can do anything. He can multiply loaves, he can walk on water. I mean, if they would have really grasped it, they would have not been amazed that Jesus was walking on water. They'd be like, okay, there he is, walking on water. He can do it. And so they didn't understand completely. And so sometimes in life, you and I, we're in the dark. We're in the dark like the disciples are in the dark. It's the middle of the night. We're in the middle of a storm, a difficult time. And just like the disciples, they can't see Jesus. At this point, they can't see Jesus. And you can't see Jesus in your life sometimes. And so we get scared. We get nervous. We look around and wonder where Jesus is in the storm. Verse 18, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. And so the wind picked up, and the storms in our lives, the storms come. They come in our lives all the time. It's not a matter of if they will come. It's when they will come, when the storms come. There could be more than one reason, though, that you might have a storm in your life. There could be more than one reason that you have a struggle in your life. Now, sometimes it's sin. Sometimes you've made bad choices. But sometimes God puts us in the storm because he wants us to learn and to grow and to experience and to stretch our faith. You know that phrase, let's just nip it in the bud right now. That phrase that says, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's not true. It's not scriptural. Because James talks about sin and temptation, and Jesus, or God, will not tempt you beyond what you can bear, is different than the struggle, the trials, the struggles that you have. And so when God gives you struggles, or when he puts you in the storm, or when he allows tough things to happen, sometimes they're tough things because God wants you to trust him. And so difficult decisions, difficult things in your life, storms, don't throw Jesus out because of them. Because Jesus gives you those storms sometimes for a reason. So the wind picks up. And sometimes it's because Jesus wants our faith to be strengthened. I want to show you just a clip of these storm chasers, storm watchers. This is what they do for a living. Will you just show that 30-second clip?
Hi, I'm Greg Johnson, and I'm a tornado hunter. I travel the roads of North America, capturing the world's most extreme imagery.
Look at the horizontal vortice! It's coming down!
It's on the ground!
Tornado on the ground!
It's on the ground!
Part of that is taking this truck, the Ford F-150, and getting it inside these monster storms.
Here we go!
These are massive storms. And we don't live in the Midwest. We don't live in the South. We don't have experiences like that. But I've been in one in Kansas. These guys actually go out into the storms looking for storms. Why do they go into these storms? They go into the storms because they are trying to learn about them. They want to know how they start. They want to know how they function. They want to know where they go and why they go certain directions. And so they study these storms. And so no matter what, when storms come, it is an opportunity for us to grow and for us to learn. For us to be stretched and for us to, our faith to be strengthened in the times of those storms. It is an opportunity for our faith to be strengthened. And so Jesus, knowing that the disciples are going to go into this storm, he puts them in the boat and sends them on their way. And so the disciples are in there and they're rowing for 3 to 4 miles, verse 19. They row, and remember what I said about how wide the Sea of Galilee is? It's 7 miles, 8 miles wide. So they're halfway across the lake of the Sea of Galilee. They're in the middle of this lake. 3 to 4 hours later, 3 to 4 miles into it, they are rowing and struggling and not getting anywhere. And they're tired. These are tough men. These are burly, tough men that are not afraid of anything, and they're in the midst of this storm. Look what happens next. They see a ghost, or they think they see a ghost. They are terrified. They are freaked out. They don't know what to think. This person is walking on water, coming towards them. See, this is how we look at fear. We call it a different name. Some of us in this room are control freaks because you like things in order and everything in its place. And if anything's out of place, well, then everything's wrong in this world. And so some of us are controlled by fear. And so a positive way of saying control freak, a positive way of saying that is you are a planner. And some of us are controlled by fear, and a positive way of saying that is you are concerned. And some of us are anxious about everything, but a positive way of saying that is, well, I'm just excited about things. The truth is, we all struggle with fear. Even a burly fisherman named Peter struggled to have faith. And Jesus said to them, It is I, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm not a ghost. It is me, the Savior, the Messiah. Take courage. In Matthew it says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. See, God says in Scripture 365 different ways. He says, do not be afraid. I remember 10 years ago, Jeannie Nyberg, it was my first sermon. And I've told you this before, but I will never forget this. On the podium, there's a piece of paper written by Jeannie Nyberg. And she wrote on there, do not be afraid. 365 times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid. God is with you. Do not be afraid. Gene Nyberg. And that, for my first sermon here, was a tremendous reminder for me to take courage to not be afraid. The Lord is with you. Peter was the only one who wanted to get out of the boat into the storm to see Jesus. And in Matthew 14:28, it says, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And of course, what does Jesus say? Come on out. Come on out. And so Peter got down out of the boat, out of this solid foundation, this comfort of a boat. Now, I know maybe some of you don't like boats. Maybe it's not comfortable. But standing on water is a little less comfortable. So Peter steps out of this hard surface into this moving surface. And he steps out on this water. And he starts walking on this water towards Jesus. But what happens? Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, doesn't he? Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks down at his circumstances. He looks down at his feet, his ability to walk. And so what happens is he starts to sink because he's not focused on Jesus, who's the Lord over the elements. Jesus is the Lord over the water. Jesus is the Lord over the storms. Jesus is the Lord over the ability to walk on water or not walk on water. And so Peter loses sight of Jesus and he looks at his own abilities. He looks at his own circumstances and he starts to sink. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind, Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus was there with Peter and he pulled him out of the depths. He pulled him out of the depths of his fear and he saved him. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And then he said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? See, Jesus addressed, he addressed something here again about putting your faith, putting their faith in him. See, you and I, we're not there yet. Yes, we have good days. Yes, we put our faith in Jesus here and there. But we still struggle with fear at times. And I want you to put yourself in Peter's place. Imagine that you are Peter and you have seen this person walking on the water and you believe that he is God. He is the Messiah. You believe because you've seen all these wonderful things, these miracles, these signs. He's done amazing things and now he's walking on the water in the midst of a storm and you believe. And when he says to come, you step out in faith, you believe, you're trusting him, and you're focused on him, and you believe that he has control and authority over all. And so you miraculously step out on the boat, out of the boat, into the water, but only for a short time, because you start to look at your own circumstances. You start to realize that, what's going on here? I'm standing on water. Ooh, I can't really do that on my own. And you start to sink. You look down. You lose focus on Jesus. You start thinking of your own feet, your own abilities, and you start to sink. And then Jesus saves you from sinking into the abyss. Now just think about your own life. When you and I focus on our own circumstances and we start to worry, we start to get anxious, we start to, let's just call it fear, and we start to focus on how we are going to get ourselves out of that place, or how are we going to do this on our own. We wouldn't want to say that, right? On our own. But if we get our focus off of Jesus, obviously we're going to sink. Obviously we're going to stay in our fear, and we're going to stay in our anxieties, and we're going to stay in our predicament because we have lost sight. And so this morning I want to encourage you to keep your eyes above the waves on Jesus. Verse 21, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and get this, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now remember, they were halfway through. They had been in the midst of a storm. They had been rowing and struggling and trying to get over to the other side of the lake. 3 miles in, 3 to 4 miles left to go, and immediately they were on shore. Now, some people say that's a miracle. I agree. That not only did Jesus walk on the water, not only did Jesus say to the storm, stop, and it stopped, but he also just made them all of a sudden get to the other side of the lake immediately. That's really amazing things that Jesus just did. And in one of the texts, it says that they worshiped. Those that were in the boat, they worshiped Jesus because of it, because he did these miracles. And so some of you have decisions in your life that are scary. Some of you have new jobs, and it's not comfortable. Some of you have heard God say to do something, and it's really stretching you. Some of you have hung on to some things that you don't need to be hanging on to anymore, and God has said to you, let go. And yet, it's a comfort for you to hang on. And some of you are completely in a completely new chapter in your life, and it is unnerving and uncomfortable. And see, if you look at your feet, and if you look at your circumstances, you will be afraid. Because God does give you more than you can handle. And the reason why he does that is so that you'll put your faith in him. The reason why he puts you through storms, the reason why he allows you to go through tough times, is because he wants you to put your faith in him. And so, Jesus, this is what Jesus wants you to know today, and that is, he wants you to know that he is praying for you. He's praying for you. He cares that much about you, that he's praying for you. I get an opportunity to pray for people, and I see the delight in their face. I see the peace that comes over them when they know that someone's praying for them. But I tell you what, for me to pray for someone is not as amazing as when Jesus is praying for you. Another thing that Jesus wants you to know is that he will meet you in the storm. See, the disciples, they were in the midst of the storm. They couldn't see anything. It was dark. And Jesus was up on the mountain. And all of a sudden, he shows up in the midst of the storm, standing on the water, walking towards them, and he joined them in the storm. He wants you to know that he will meet you in the midst of it. Another thing that he wants you to know is that he is the Lord over the storm. That any storm in life, he is bigger than those storms. He wants you to know that he will calm the storm, and he will take you to dry ground in his timing. So he'll meet you in the storm. He's praying for you while you're in the storm. He's going to take you to dry ground in his timing. And he wants a couple more things he wants you to know. He wants you to keep your eyes on him and not on the waves. To keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the circumstances, not on the difficulties of your life, not on whether you can or can't do what you're supposed to be doing, but on Jesus, who can do everything. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And he wants you to remember to focus on him. Keep your eyes on him. You might have some concerns. You might have anxieties. You might have downright fears in your life. But he wants you to keep your eyes off of the waves and onto Jesus. Here's what I want you to encourage you this morning. You have a piece of paper. And I can guarantee that there is something in your life that you have either had anxiety over, or you've had a concern, let's just call it concern, or you've thought more about it than you need to be thinking about it, or you've racked your brain trying to figure out a solution for it, or you're just really extremely afraid of what to do or how to face this difficult thing in your life. I want you to write that down on this piece of paper. And if you have enough courage, during the song that we're going to play, I want you to put it on the cross. I want you to pin it to the cross and give it to God. And so things like, I'll just give you an example. Being a good father, my concern is to be a good father, is to be a good leader. Those are mine, okay? I get concerned about those things. Or am I going to get all the things done that I have on my list this week, right? Maybe I should ask what God has for me to do this week rather than my list. But am I going to get it all done in a timely fashion? Or am I going to get the right things done? Or my priorities or anything like that? So those type of things, I want you to write them down and to take courage and to come and pin it on the cross and give it to him. Because what is in Peter, the book of Peter, it says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. See, Jesus is showing them another sign, another miracle. But the reason why he's doing that is so that they will put their faith in Jesus, so that they will trust in him. And so you may struggle with that today. I want you to be encouraged. Take courage. And not be afraid. Someone to help me as I see all these on here, it's clear to me that we all struggle with fear and anxiety and difficulty. I'm not the only one, am I? So I'm going to pray for these, and we're going to release them to the Lord this morning and truly let go of them and walk in the peace that transcends all understanding, that God of peace is with you. So let's pray. Father, thank you for all of these fears that we've given them to you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to release them to you. Lord, thank you for taking them and carrying them and releasing us from them. Lord, thank you for being the Lord over all. Thank you for loving us enough to come in the midst of the storm and rescue us. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and just saving us from our own struggles. We love you and we let go of these fears in Jesus' name.